Well, obviously today's message is conflict resolution, and it's just very important for all of us to keep a mindset of what we're going to do. I know a lot of times we think about reacting rather than responding, and I love Carl because he came through and he said, I pray ahead of time, and I think about before it happens. And I think that that's a tough mindset for us. I mean, or for me, from where I came from, it's hard to look ahead. It seems that life moves so fast that things occur, and you're not, you know, sometimes you're not looking ahead, and they catch you by surprise when you start looking at these situations. So I really did enjoy that. We're going to come back to everything that we shared. But as an opener, I got a quote. It says, trials can come like a freight train, one car after another, but eventually the last car passes. And when problems seem unceasing, remind yourself that this too shall pass. Deal with one trial at a time in the power of the Holy Ghost until each series of events is over. And God will give you a fresh anointing daily to handle everything that comes into your life. I think that that's a cool quote, and it's really neat to think about God when we're being challenged, because sometimes our thoughts aren't necessarily godly, and we can be caught off track so fast, so quickly to make these decisions, and it takes a half a second to decide to do something that you have to pay for the rest of your life, right? I mean, you could pay for it, you know, legally for the rest of your life. And then, but some of us have carried burdens, you know, for years and years and years. We had to learn how to forgive not just others, but ourselves. Amen? Yes or no? Amen. Right? I mean, so what we do in this life is so important. I mean, everything that we do, we put our hands to, we think about, and the actions of our lives carry on. Remember, sowing and reaping. What a man sow, this he shall reap. So whatever we're planting, and sometimes we plant when we react versus responding, and the two differences in that, and I know that many of you guys have heard that before, but the difference between reacting and responding is when something happens to me and I immediately do whatever it is off the cuff, I'm reacting. But if I think about it, process it, and step back for a minute, then I can respond. I can't respond if I'm reacting. And I know that a lot of us are very prideful guys and gals, and our pride causes us to react versus respond, yes or no?
Yes.
So we don't want that, and we want to isolate that, and we want to know that we're not the type of person that's going to react, we're the type of person that's going to respond. The kingdom conflict resolution, you know, every single thing that we can do to better prepare ourselves for what's next is better for what's next, right? And we're all here for a reason. Every single one of us came to the group because we're looking for something, amen? So it's always good to keep in mind that you find what you're looking for. And every message and every place that you've ever been, and in all spiritual gatherings, or when you're meeting with your mentor or friends, you lean on and all these things, try to focus on the one thing that speaks to you within that message, whether that be all the things or if it's just something you can grab onto. But remember, before we get into this, you find what you're looking for. And I'm hoping that together we're going to find, you know, what we're looking for as far as conflict resolution. Luke 17 says, Jesus said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks should come, but woe to him whom through they do come. It'd be better for a millstone to be hung around his neck and be thrown into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to stumble." There's first thing I want to point out is we're so important to God, that, and that's the perspective that we need to keep. We cannot devalue ourselves. We remember, and we were talking about John 3:16 earlier. What is it? What's the verse, Elaine?
I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do know.
No, I don't.
I said, "For God so loved the world, what?
He gave his only begotten Son."
All right. I don't want to sound like a controlled meeting. You guys did repeat that kind of together, though. But I do want you to think about that for a minute. If you could give your first or oldest or your son, right, for this guy, or for that guy, or for this guy, right? Like, who would do that? And Jesus goes, you know, some of those, you know, would never die, you know, for a bad man, let alone very few would die for a good man. Amen? But he said that we're so valuable to him that he would be willing to give up his one and only son so that we should not perish. So first and foremost, let's not devalue ourselves in understanding that when God is angry, he's going to deal with that. Remember, he said, revenge is the Lord's, you know, and to let him handle that. Sometimes we want to take revenge so fast, and I know that we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But he said, woe to him through whom they do come. It'd be better for him for a milestone to be thrown around his neck and him thrown into the ocean. Right? You're not swimming out of that, amen? Right? So, I mean, God's got my back, right? But he said, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks should come. It's inevitable. And another verse has said offenses or ruin. So my mindset is key. I need to keep a mindset of understanding that in this world of chaos that I'm in, I shouldn't be surprised when bad things happen to me. Amen? But I've talked to 1,000 different people that couldn't get past why does this happen to them and why does this happen to them and how did this happen to me, and that's God's fault. But in reality, it's just because I'm undereducated and I don't understand the principles of this word, right? And I go into it, I understand it, and I'd be like, you are lights of the world. Go out into the midst of chaos as you appear to be the lights in the midst of the world, right? So if I'm the light in the world going into the midst of chaos, can I expect that I won't be affected by the chaos? Right? Let me be real about it. So, but if I have a mindset that I know that I may be affected by this chaos, but it is my duty to hold on to this faith that keeps me strong. Amen? Now I got something to stand on. Amen? It is inevitable that stumbling blocks should come. So from now on, when something crazy happens to me, A, I'm not going to be surprised, am I?
No.
I'm not going to be. Are you going to be surprised?
No.
And in Matthew 16:21, it says, Satan is the stumbling block, but Jesus recognized the devil using his friend to try to tempt him. Right? And this is Satan's toolbox. And you got to think, like, you know, once you're trying to move towards the light and you want to make progress in your relationships, you want to make progress in your faith, progress in your family, you want to make progress in your life, all of a sudden you're on the radar. Whereas 23 years prior to that, I wasn't on the radar because he didn't have to pull me back in. He had me already. Amen? Right? He could have just flipped the switch and set me loose. But now I'm on God's radar, right? So that means that I could be easily under attack. I could expect that. But think about his toolbox. And then that's 1 John 2:15 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. But the world is passing away and also its lusts. So he's telling me right now, these are gateways to hinder me. Right? So I have to look into myself, you know, first of all, where's my weaknesses? If I was an army, where would be my weaknesses? If my army is fighting addiction right now, where are my weaknesses? Yes or no? Right? If my army is fighting pride against myself that I just won't give it up and I'm always, you know, never giving up to what God's trying to tell me to do, you know, where are my weaknesses? And the devil's natural toolbox is, first of all, the lust of the flesh. Then the lust of the eyes, then the boastful pride of life. So these three things I need to put on the forefront of me right now and think about myself and say, where am I guilty? Amen. Am I walking around, you know, staring at the lust of the flesh, which is easily idolizing gold or status or power? Amen. What about my eyes? Am I staring at the ladies? Or ladies, am I staring at the guys? Am I getting caught in the locker room talking crazy? Right? You know, we think that's venial. It's not a big deal. But the reality is, if I open this door, now you can shoot me. Yes or no? But if this door is closed by the Holy Ghost, can you shoot me now? So I want to isolate these things and say, if challenges do come in my world, am I going to openly invite them in or shut them down? Amen? So the first thing I think about is myself. What can I do? What can I do to make sure that I'm doing everything I can do to fight this? Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. A snare is a noose that they used to catch the animals back in the day. So now he's saying that a fool's mouth is his ruin, right? And we remember sowing and reaping. How many times do I catch myself running sideways at the mouth throughout the day? Yes or no? Are we guilty?
Yes.
And that includes gossiping, talking about somebody, judging somebody, just being negative, allowing negativity to run out of my mouth. That's a snare for the devil to catch me. Amen. That's what he's saying. He said a fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are a snare to his soul. What do you think is going to happen when I'm snared? I'm going to suffer. Right? So David said, and I've said this verse 850,000 times, that he said, I will, as if I had a muzzle on my face, keep my mouth closed in the presence of the wicked. Because David knew and understood that it says in Proverbs, what a man speaks with his mouth, his stomach shall be satisfied. He will be satiated by the voice of his lips. And what he's saying is that you guys have the ability to speak that into your life. If I'm allowing negativity and I'm speaking negativity, then I'm then planting to receive negativity. Amen? Right? So I can't wake up tomorrow, I hate the alarm clock, I hate my job, I hate this house, I hate this bed, I hate this air conditioner, I hate, car won't start. Right? Right? Hate my boss. Yo, Samity Sam, all day. What do you think the next day is going to be like? Right? It's another snare. But I wake up today and God knows that I hate my job, but I go anyway. And I don't say a thing about it. Amen? God knows that my car is going to break down, but I make it to work. Amen? Right? Think about the two different days. And then all of a sudden I stop. You know, we got to stop and smell the flowers. We got to keep that perspective in our life. I've got a personal testimony we're going to get to later on. It's just right on the edge. I want to give it to you like Pammy's sister did. I'll tell you what, I feel the same way. But, you know, Proverbs 26 says, revengeful deceitfulness only deceives the deceiver. The flattering mouth runs to ruin. And, you know, and another thing is how many times you've been mad about something, but then once you opened up your mouth, started talking about it, you escalated, like, right like that, right? And then in James, there's a whole thing about the tongue being a rudder for the ship. You know, we got this massive ship and this tiny rudder. Well, here's our rudder right here. When we set the guard off that little rudder, and it, next thing you know, we're throwing blows. You know, we're locked up. Next thing you know, things we can't take back happen. But in this it says, revengeful deceitfulness only deceives the deceiver. Now that's a paradox, because I know that we're the type of people that if you hit me, I'm gonna hit you back, right? Eye for an eye. We like that Old Testament, except for when it applies to us. I wouldn't be here. Amen? If it was eye for an eye from the gate, would you still be sitting here today? Yes or no?
No.
But when it affects us, we feel like, okay, that's justified. But the reality is God's love covers the multitude of our sin, and we're called to have the compassion to forgive the others. That's a big challenge. But being revengeful only deceives me. When I'm in that mindset of revenge and I want to get even, I'm the one that's being deceived. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 15:4 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And you know, the eyes of the Lord are upon us. It says, perversion in the tongue crushes the spirit. And if we're the lights of the world, and we're called by His light, forgiven by His light, and He's telling us a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, you guys know that. How many times you fire back at somebody and then all of a sudden it was on? You know, we're witty. We do that. You know, I mean, we hammer down all the time. But He's saying that, you know, if we're gentle in our spirit, we're patient in our spirit, even though we're caught up in that moment, if we stay patient while we respond, most of the time that alleviates the situation. In the Beatitudes, He talks about blessed are the peacemakers, so they shall receive the kingdom of God. Amen. And when you find yourself being that peacemaker, that's the mindset that we want to have on a daily basis. But when He's looking in here, He's saying the eyes of the Lord are upon us. Perversion of the tongue crushes the spirit. And I don't want to crush their spirit, and I certainly don't want my spirit crushed. Amen, right? Strife nearly always includes gossip. If there's no wood, there's no fire. In Proverbs 26, it says, the meddler's gossip. This is where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no tail barrel, strife ceases. So strife is discord, conflict. It's basically the disagreements that can cause war. And we look at ourselves within the last 48 hours. Did we partake in this? Because basically he said, if there's no wood, there's no fire. Amen. So when that wood, when that fire comes our way and they're looking for us to co-sign on somebody, we just back right back out of that and be like, no, I'm sorry. I don't want a part of that. You know what I mean? I don't have to, you know, but I just don't want to be involved in that. Right? Because if what I reap is what I sow, every single time I light that wood against you, I'm lighting that wood against me. Amen? And you think about that. So that's preventative maintenance. Ephesians 2 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, by nature of wrath, even as the rest. Lying down the old self is a conflict resolution. And so you're saying that at one point in time in our lives, or in when we're new, that we're dead in our trespasses, but through God's grace, He comes and saves us. We need to have that mindset to remember where we came from. Amen? I don't care how many years down the road you're saved. You are no better than anybody that is saved or not saved on the earth, for God loved, right? He so loved the what? The whole world, that He gave His only begotten Son so that He should not be perished, right? Right? Does that make me better than anybody else? If I got more money or less money or shinier cars or better status or a better job, never, ever, ever should I ever look at anyone with the pride of life and think that I'm better than them. Amen? That is something that we need to understand. We need to stay humble and understanding that no matter who we were all children of wrath. Psalm 50, 22 says, now consider this. You who forget God, lest I tear you to pieces and there be none to deliver. He who offends sacrifices of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I shall show the salvation of God. So it's like we offer praise to God through obedient conduct, also through our showing of appreciation. And I love one of the other previous verses that says that God delights and conduct rather than sacrifice. And what he's saying is, I can make it sound good all day. I can praise God with my lips all day long. But if I go out into the world and I live my life not according to His ways, I might as well have kept my mouth shut. Amen? He said, consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you to pieces. And may not. I don't know about you, but I take things like that very seriously. Amen? Right? When my God says, consider this, then I need to consider that. And he says that he who offers sacrifices of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I shall show the salvation of God. What is another word for salvation? It's rescue. But see, we're in this situation. We're in this challenge right now. We're saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what I'm going to do. But he's saying to me, to him who orders his conduct aright, I shall show the salvation of God. What's he telling me? He said, the more you draw closer to me and my ways, the more you grow my relationship, the more you continue to move in this conduct, the more I will show you the way. Amen?
Amen.
Right? No matter where we are. No matter where we are, if it's a brand new problem, if it's an old problem, if it's a situation that we've been under the mud, we've been not one to deal with, we need to move closer to God on that and let God shine that light on it. And as the closer we move to God, the more we have that rescue in Him. Amen? Ecclesiastes 10 says, a ruler's tempter rises against you. I like this one. So we're saying, what if I'm not in the wrong? What if I'm not in the wrong and something happens to me? And I found this in Ecclesiastes. He says, a ruler's tempter rises against you. Do not abandon your position, because composure always alloys great offenses. And what's that mean? He means stand your ground peacefully. He said, don't allow yourself to be thrown off track, whether it's your fault, whether it's not your fault, but maintain humility and peace of mind while you respond in that situation. And that will protect you from that. Amen? So wisdom has the advantage of giving us success. Whereas before, you come at me wrong, I'm giving you what you come at me with. Amen, right? I've got 28, 29 years of that beat in me. Amen? Come at me this way, I'm coming back at you that way, period. It takes a long time to instill some of these values of our faith in our lives. And these are the things that we need to look at. Am I reacting and not responding? And I think that's what that is. Ephesians 5, walk circumspectly. Circum is to go around. Spectly is to inspect. So to walk circumspectly is consider the consequences and choose to walk wisely. That is the result. The result of that is conflict resolution. So now let's do this for a minute. If I'm going where I'm going, right, and I'm walking around and I'm going around, but I'm inspecting my situation. Where am I? Where have I put myself? Where am I spending my time? What am I getting involved with? Where is the majority of my time being spent? Amen. And we talk about this a lot, and we always say, like, how many of us know we need to read more often? But the reality is how long are we going to just know that we need to read more often? Have we known that we need to read more often for 1 year? For 2 years? For 3 years? Do you think that's excessive at this point? What are we going to do to make sure that we're enacting against these challenges? It isn't just reading more often or making it to more church or keeping God in my life or showing out and loving others or playing my role. Amen. Where are all these things that I'm dropping the ball? Where am I supposed to be? Okay, furthermore, what am I going to do to take these baby steps to enact that in my life? Amen. I don't have to save the world tomorrow. Amen. I don't have to catch everybody, but I do need to aim myself in the direction that He wants me to go. And if I know that in my heart He's convicting me to read, I can't get up 15 minutes early and read one chapter. Is that going to kill me tomorrow? Right? But guess what will kill me? A drunk driver, my temptations, my anger, my road rage, right? But what if I read that chapter that morning? What if I had a different mindset? You know, I mean, we can create all these different scenarios of understanding that if we stay in that shield of Christ, that we're just so much safer when we're out in that world. So a mindset of thankfulness is also a key to maintain trials. You know, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm less likely to be conflicted. So if I wake up tomorrow, like we said, and I'm not Yosemite Sam, and I say, thank you, God, because I'm alive, right? I'm sorry to point you out, Mark, but Mark has a terminal illness, and he came in here, and he said, I just want to thank God today to be here, amen? Right? I don't know how many of you around the table have a terminal illness right now. But he is a testament to my faith to understand that you think that my job's going to throw me off track, right? You think that my challenges are going to throw me off track, right? Is it perspective? Is it me? Am I allowing this? And if I ask myself the bigger picture, if this is heaven or hell situation, if it's not, then why am I focused on it? Amen? It should resolve itself. If this is not a heaven or hell issue in my life, then why is it soaking up all my energy and my time? Yes or no? Right? It's time to label that what it is. You know what? This job's venial. That situation I can't figure out, I'm going to move it over there. Amen? I'm going to focus on what's important right now. I got a couple more for you guys. I know we're running out of time. I don't want to kill it, but I want to talk about the apostles and the situation they were in. And then I want to come back to what we shared earlier. And now check this out. He says, therefore, when we could endure it no longer. Amen? Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left back to Athens alone. And when we sent to Timothy, our brother, God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. But indeed, when we were with you, kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer the affliction, and it did come to pass. And as you knew, for this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I sent to find out about you of your faith, the fear the tempter might have tempted you, and about our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy's come back to us and brought us the good news of your faith and love, that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we've longed to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all of our distress and affliction, we were comforted about through your faith. For now we really live and stand firm in the Lord. And I want to point something out here, is that these guys knew that they were imminently moving towards death. And he knew that he was encouraged by the fact that his labor wasn't in vain. And his labor was simply sharing that love of God. And knowing that that love of God penetrated somebody else and encouraged somebody else, that in his life, knowing that he was going to die, he took hope and understanding that somebody else had hope. Amen? That's so powerful. When you talk about the love of God, you talk about the power of love of God in your life. What can it do for you today? Amen? When these guys know that they can face imminent death, and he said, "For now, we really live because you stand firm in the Lord." Amen? And I heard a couple of people say that I tried it my way, and that didn't work. Amen? I know that I tried it my way, and that didn't work, right? You know, I know this. So the reality is, if some of you guys are holding back in the room, what do you really got to lose? And I say today that we take our own advice. We take our own advice. And when we were going around the table, we said, "What do you do when challenges come your way?" Well, we said, "Pray to the blood of Christ." 3 times we said, "Lean on a friend for advice." 11 times we said, "Pray." We said, "Call a sponsor. Go to church. Pray ahead of time." Preventative thinking. Take a step back from the situation. Sometimes, if it's too much to hold it in, journal it. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your challenges. I love that because it challenges. You know, one thing that I read a long time ago said, "I never lose. I always learn." Amen? Right? I never lose. I always learn. You know, the Bible said a righteous man falls down 7 times. 7 times he gets up. Amen? Right? That verse, that wisdom said, "I never lose. I learn." I think that's what he meant. Deep breath. Get away from the issue. Run away from the issue. Give it time. Take walks. 2 times we said take walks. Meditate. Force yourself to think positive. Staying consistent. Set it down and come back. Think of your kids. Read the Bible and ask questions. Amen? And the funny thing is, as I wrote about kingdom conflict resolution on the way here last week, and my wife called me and she said, "I need you to skip Bible study tonight." In 5 years, she's never asked me that. In 5 years, she's never asked me that. So I called Marvin. I said, "Marvin, I don't know what I'm doing." Marvin's a beast. "Go handle your family. We'll figure it out." Right? And I go there and I get in my car and I walk out. I'm walking in the garage. She said, "No, we better go back to your car. Just go back to your car." So I go back to my car, turn the air conditioner on, we're sitting in my car. She said, "Before I tell you anything about this, I need to understand that you promised me that you won't get arrested when I tell you this." Because she knows me, right? She knows me. Now, we've got 8 years in the Word. But my wife's primary thought process is, "Please, God, just don't let him do something today. You know, just promise me you won't act on this. I need your help." And she goes on to tell me that some terrible things happened to my family while I was gone. And told me that somebody that we cared about did those terrible things. And I promised my wife that night that I wouldn't leave. I stayed home that night. She got up. She went to work. I called in. And I have to confess to you guys that I went straight there in the morning. And that doesn't make me a better person. But I can tell you this, that I learned a lot about my faith. Because when I turned in there and everything was gone and there was no evidence of that person, I realized how much God had my back. Amen?
Amen.
And I know that we are just people. And a lot of times we react and we don't respond. And no matter who you are, who you think you are, or where you think you are in your faith, like, you're going to think, but see, now, and I'm not going to say that I had intentions, and I'm not going to say that I'm promoting any kind of revengeful things or whatever, but I do know that I went straight there. And I just, in the back of my stomach, you know, I just didn't really, you know, and I turned in that driveway, and the house was empty, and there was no trace. And I just walked in there and shut the door and got on my knees and prayed. And I always think of that verse when David said, "You know how the Lord has my back. He plucks my feet from the net," you know. And when you realize after the time that you've lost control of your own self and that God had your back, then that's even more reason to move closer to the Lord, no matter who you are. So, you know, I personally give you guys my apologies in that. I pray that I wasn't risking this position that I don't deserve. that I enjoy being here. And just know that this is real. You know, the world, we're surrounded in chaos. None of us are free from this chaos. But the key is, how are we going to deal with that? And I think that growing in our faith and understanding how to process these things, and God showing us that 15 years ago it would have been don't pass go, and today it's learn how to forgive 1 week after you found out. Amen? It's progress, right? Let's pray.